The following audio is from Delta Church in Springfield, Illinois. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel through the church to a world that needs Jesus Christ. We pray this sermon will aid and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. For more information about Delta, you can visit us online at deltachurch.net.
Well, good evening. My name is Chance. I'm one of the elders here, and tonight I have the privilege of sharing God's word with you as we stand on the eve of our Savior's birth. But first, I don't know what your Christmas Eve has been like, but I want to tell you a little bit about mine, okay? Ginger saw this viral thing on TikTok or Instagram or something where you have a shepherd's meal on Christmas Eve, and I guess it's like charcuterie with, like a charcuterie board with candles. You turn all the lights off, and then, which is already a bad recipe for disaster, you turn all the lights off, you light some candles, and then you with small children eat around those candles, okay? As if you were like shepherds back in the day out in the field. I'm here to tell you it doesn't work, all right? Like, it's not a good idea. Napkins are flammable. I mean, it didn't happen, but it almost did. Kids are going to argue about whether or not they had Ritz crackers out in the field with the shepherds. They're going to argue if they had deer salami out there. They're going to argue even if shepherds had napkins at all back then. Okay, they probably would have used their coat or whatever. And so if you see this viral trend on the internet, don't try it. I don't know. Did you take pictures, Ginger, to make it look good? Like, is it going to? Yeah, you took one picture, that's all, before everything burst into flames. So here's why I tell you this, okay? There is the temptation on nights like this to check out, to not be mindful of what you should be mindful of, right? Like all of those things can be a distraction. One of my great friends passed away yesterday. There are things that can come at us during this time that can distract us, and I am so thankful to God that we get to be here tonight to sing songs that we love and hear words that we adore. I'm thankful for this reorienting. So we're going to spend most of our time together in Luke chapter 2. If you've got a Bible, pull it out. If you don't, you can pull it up on your cell phone. Specifically, we're going to focus on verses 8 through 20. All right, that's where we're going to be most of the time. Luke 2, 8 through 20. However, for those verses to fully make sense, I feel like I got to kind of give you a little bird's eye view of what happened in the first 7 verses, all right? And actually, some of the scripture that we've read already will be helpful in this regard. But if you were to scan back up to the beginning of Luke chapter 2, you are introduced to a character named Caesar Augustus. He's the ruler at the time, all right? He's issued a decree, a census had to be taken. Censuses were kind of different back then. This meant that everybody had to travel back to their ancestral hometown to register to be counted, all right? So for Joseph, this meant he had to journey back to Bethlehem. And because he was betrothed to Mary, they were going to get hitched soon, Mary traveled with him on that journey back to Bethlehem, okay? When they arrived in Bethlehem, the town was packed. Many people had come back there for the census, right? And there was no place for them to stay. So scripture records that they ended up in some sort of, we really don't know exactly what it is, but some sort of like barn type structure. All right, that was going to be their room for the night. And it is there in those humble surroundings that the Savior of the world was born. All right, that brings us up to verse 8, where we're going to be tonight. Now, I want you to notice something before we jump into verse 8. There's going to be a major shift in scenes, all right? Everything that I've told you thus far took place in Bethlehem. Baby Jesus is born there. Well, in verse 8, where we're going to jump in, there is a change in scene, and it's going to go way outside of town to some shepherds who are out in the fields watching their flock, and we're about to get to witness them experience the greatest news ever told. Look at Luke chapter 2. Verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So it's the story's already off to a pretty wild start, right? Like the shepherds are out there in nothingness, in total blackness, and an angel shows up. Nearly every time in the pages of Scripture, when the invisible world is made visible like we see here, people freak out, right? They're scared. They're afraid. And this angelic messenger showed up in the blackest of night to give an announcement to them, shepherds. As I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, I wonder why shepherds, you know, like why not prophets, why not priests, why not another group? Why did God choose shepherds to reveal the birth of his son? And if you know a little bit about shepherds in Jesus' day, they were despised. They were considered unclean. They couldn't go to religious services because they were out with their sheep all the time. They were around animal waste all the time, and that made them ceremonially unclean. Yet Scripture portrays shepherds very positively. They were symbols of care and provision. Scripture even records that shepherds reflect the heart of God. Now think about that. Doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it sound just like God to entrust the greatest news ever told to those who are most ordinary, even the overlooked? So at this point in the story, we've been introduced to the messenger, an angel. We now know who the recipients are. It's the shepherds. Next, we turn our attention to the message itself. I want to know, what exactly did this angel say to the shepherds? We see that in the next two verses. Look at verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I love the first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Fear not." He's like, don't freak out, guys. Like, again, when the veil is torn back and we see that which is usually invisible, our tendency is to be afraid. But he says, "Fear not." He could see that they were alarmed. But after calming them, again, I'm going to read to you his words. "Fear not, for behold, I am bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day a baby is born in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, that's just like one or two verses, depending on the version of the Bible you're looking at, but there's so much there, and I want to work to unpack it quickly. Notice that the angel said that this baby had been born to you. Speaking to the angels, he said, this baby has been born to you, or to the shepherds. Speaking to them, he said, this baby has been born to you. Can you imagine what they would have been thinking? They're out there in the field, it's pitch black, middle of the night. An angel shows up and says, hey, a baby has been born to you. For me, I would have been like, I don't even really know anybody who's pregnant right now. Like, what are they talking? How can this message be applied to me? Well, they would soon learn that this message was not only directly applicable to them, but many more as well. Second, notice that the angel announced that it was not just news, but good news. This is actually where we get our word gospel from. This angel's message, it wasn't something ordinary. It wasn't something typical. This was good news that would bring great gladness, great joy, and great hope. It would be, the text says, for all people. People from every nation and background. This was an announcement with universal significance. I was thinking about this. I travel quite a bit for my job, go over to West Africa at least once a year. And when I get on the plane, you know, they're going through the announcements like, hey, here's the barf bag, like here are the exits on the plane and all that stuff. I put my headphones on and I tune that out because that announcement doesn't apply to me. I mean, it does apply to me, but I know it already, right? I don't have to listen to that. This is an announcement of cosmic consequences. An announcement for all. Third, the angel gave the location of the birth. The text says the city of David, and that's just another name for Bethlehem. Well, I thought about this. Why Bethlehem? Because Bethlehem had been prophesied as the birthplace of the Messiah. So if you go back to the book of Micah in the Old Testament, written 700 years before those shepherds were following those sheep around the field, Micah wrote these words. "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days." Man, I love this. Right before the shepherd's eyes, scripture and prophecy were being fulfilled. This one who was, as the text said, from of old, ancient of days, had been born not too far from where the shepherds were located. God had kept his promise. Did you notice the three names that the angel gave to this little baby? This baby would be Savior, Christ, and Lord. Can you imagine the confusion that the shepherds must have felt? A baby, they didn't even know anybody was pregnant, a baby has been born in a manger, and it is given these three monumental titles: Savior, Christ, and Lord. I think it would have sounded ridiculous to them. But here's what I think we need to remember. In giving Jesus these titles, God was revealing exactly what those people needed and what we needed. This baby was to be their Savior because they needed a Savior. This baby was to be their Christ and Messiah because they needed deliverance from their sin. This baby was their Lord because every human ever has wandered after false gods. So at this point in the story, the angel has delivered the news, a Savior has been born, prophecy has been fulfilled, and it will impact all people. In the next verse, then, verse 12, the angel offered the shepherds one final detail as they were to go and search out this child. Look at verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Do you see the contrast between verses 11 and 12? In verse 11, this baby is announced as the Savior, Christ, and Lord. And then in verse 12, we find out that he's lying in a manger surrounded by the smell of animal dung. The King of Kings, we learn, was resting where cattle and sheep and donkeys would defecate and drool. And if that weren't enough, the account continues in the next two verses with another supernatural event. Look at verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So out of nowhere, a heavenly choir springs up. This is literally thousands of angels that just appear in the middle of the night. What's happening here is heaven is bursting forth on earth. And their message? God deserves the glory because he has brought peace for those who love them. We hear that, and that is a wonderful message. It's the best message ever. But we must hear the implied inverse truth that is on the opposite side of that coin. If God deserves the glory because he has brought peace, then that means before this moment recorded in Scripture, humanity was at war with God. Humanity was at odds with God. But now, through this Christ child, somehow, some way, peace was being offered. Notice the text doesn't say that mankind like did some sort of like great and glorious deed to deserve this peace. No, this is a gift of God. He is the primary actor. He is the one who restored the relationship between himself and sinful people. In verse 15, then, we see the shepherd's response. Look at the text, verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." I love it. It's belief and obedience. God spoke to the angels, the shepherds believed it, and they responded in obedience. The next three verses then follow their journey and their arrival. Look at verse 16. And they went with haste, right? They were in a hurry, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. That means they told everybody what the angels had told them. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. That doesn't mean that they like scratched their head and wondered like, is that true? No, what it means is they were totally amazed, totally dumbfounded. Just as God had said it would be when the shepherds arrived in Bethlehem, it was. Notice that the shepherds couldn't keep what had happened to themselves. They had to share. I mean, the timing would have been a little awkward, right? Like, picture Mary there, exhausted, probably lying on a big pile of hay with a blanket over her, keeping her warm. She's recovering from childbirth, and then total strangers walk in. But I think any awkwardness would have quickly faded away when the shepherds excitedly shared what God had revealed to them when they were out in the field. Somehow they knew, miraculously, these shepherds knew. And the news was too extraordinary to keep quiet. Verse 19 then records Mary's response. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. That sounds like a mama, right? Like Mary just soaked it all in. Then in the final verse, we learn that the party's over. It's time for the shepherds to go back home. Verse 20 reads, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Again, put yourself in their shoes. Like, life had been pretty crazy for a while, right? From the moment they're out in the fields kind of doing their thing, just a normal everyday night, boom, angels show up. It had been miraculous and crazy from that point on. But at this point in the story, they had to go back home. They had to go back to work. They returned to their fields with their flocks, but they were not the same. The text leads us to believe that what happened to them was reorienting for their entire lives. I mean, the text says they didn't return quietly. Every step, they were glorifying and praising God. Verse 20 shares their testimony. They shared what they had heard from the angels and what they had seen with their eyes. That's how they brought glory to God. They shared what they had heard and what they had seen. You know, there are many different ways. You knew what I was going to preach about, right, when you came tonight? Like, you knew that this is what we were going to talk about. And so I wrestled with this, and I'm like, what can I say? There are so many different ways that you can apply this passage to our lives, right? Here's how I'm going to land the plane. I am going to close by speaking to Christians and non-Christians. If you are here tonight and you are a Christian, if you are here tonight and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, I want you to consider the shepherds and imitate them. Consider the shepherds and imitate them. Their example was clear. They believed, they obeyed, and they shared. It's pretty simple. They believed the good news of peace that was spoken over them by the angels. They obeyed the call and acted. They went to see the Christ child, and they shared the good news with others, glorifying and praising God for the rest of their days. Belief, obedience, and sharing. Christian, this is what you are called to do, not just at Christmas, but every day. If you are here tonight and you are a non-Christian, I have a very hard truth for you. You are at war with God. Your sin, your selfishness, your rebellion, it has created a chasm between you and the Lord that cannot be bridged by good deeds or charity. And this war that you have waged with God, it is one that you will not win. You will be punished. But there is good news. Peace is possible, and it came through a baby. You see, God sent Jesus to earth to reconcile you to himself. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. And then, because he loved you so much, he took your place on the cross, bearing your punishment for your sin. He was your substitute. He absorbed God's wrath so that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sinfulness. He sees Jesus' perfection. Jesus died for you, but death could not hold him. Scripture records that 3 days later, he rose from the grave, showing his power over Satan, sin, and death. He then ascended to the Father, and he waits for his people to join him. But he didn't leave us here. Scripture records that he sent the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us all of our days. If you are not a believer, if God is not the center of who you are and why you live, hear me on this. You are at war, but you don't have to be. Peace can be yours. Peace can be found. And it starts with a baby. You see, that message that the angels proclaimed over the shepherds in that field all those years ago, it is being proclaimed over you. Tonight it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." You see, this Christmas, to the non-Christian I say, peace is being offered to you through Christ. You don't need to celebrate one more Christmas without the peace that comes from knowing the Prince of Peace. And to the Christian I say, follow the example of the shepherds. Believe, obey, and share. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for your word. We are thankful for timely reminders like this. In the hustle and bustle of the holidays, with everything going on, people coming tomorrow, people at our house already, God, we must remember what you did to save us. That you brought redemption with a baby. That he came, was raised, grew in wisdom and stature. He was perfect. He was our perfect sacrifice. God, those of us who know this peace that Jesus has brought, I pray that we would cherish it. Those of us who are now just hearing of this peace, Father, work in them to embrace it. It's in Christ's name. Amen.